Your Bibles, your books, your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 31. And I wanted to teach today on, you know, just talk about our daily lives and God wants us to believe His word, right? And He wants us to believe Him every day, which we would call being faithful. So in Psalm 31, verse 23, it says, O love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The NIV says in the second part, but the proud he pays back in full. So, but he loves and he preserves the faithful. And then it says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? Faithfulness is really steadfastness in believing. It's being consistent. And, you know, we're all faithful to a degree. So this is really, teaching is not, you know, got to be faithful, but it's just an encouragement to continue to be faithful and to realize that you can get better at it and serve God better, and the rewards and the benefits of that are tremendous. So faithfulness is really a result of building habit patterns, of the mindset you have, and preparation. You know, I got this thing to do for my knee, and it's I'm supposed to do all these pre-operative exercises. Well, I did them for a couple of days, and then yesterday we worked outside and walked, and I didn't do them. You know, but I haven't been doing them long enough, and I have 2 weeks I got to do them, so I got to really remember to do them. It's not an easy habit or thing, you know, that short time. So I got to really work at it. But that's, you know, we do lots of things in our daily lives. And some of them you start out when you're little kids because your parents probably had you do them, you know, brush your teeth and how you wash your face and, you know, all kinds of things. Hopefully make your bed. Whatever. You know, we do these things and we're faithful to them because we've built habit patterns and we have a mindset we want to do them because it makes life easier. And the way we arrange the affairs of our life are better and easier as we are faithful in doing them. You know, you do things at work and when you have, you know, consistency and a way of doing things, it helps you to do it better and more efficiently and better. But faithfulness is more than just outwardly. You know, you show up at fellowship or you pray or you read the word or whatever you do. It has more to do with just showing up, doesn't it? It's the heart behind it. It's that you want to do your best for God. And, you know, we're human beings. We're all not perfect. So there is a tendency at times to just fall into the routine of things without really giving it thought, you know. It's like praying and you use the word thankful when you pray. But, you know, it's good to remember what it means to be thankful. You know, not just say the word, but be what you say. And so when we're faithful, it's that we want to do for God and it's in our heart to do our best for God. And when we do that, then we grow spiritually, and we see the benefits and we see it bigger. Let's go to Nehemiah. I know it's one of your favorite books. It's right before Job, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job. And it's going to be chapter 7. Nehemiah was one of those guys that had the opportunity to go back to Israel after the Babylonian captivity. And So he's one of those guys that went back there, led the people to go back. And it says in verse 7, now it came to pass when the wall was built, they went back and they had to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem because it got torn down, the gates got burned, the houses destroyed. It was just rubble. Chapter 7, verse 1. Oh, sorry. Verse 1. So anyway, now it came to pass when the wall was built. So these people went back and they built the wall. And I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. All these guys were appointed to do their jobs concerning the rebuilding of the temple and to do service to God. That I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, he got this responsibility because he was a faithful man. And he had great respect for God. You know, and that's why we want to be faithful, because we have great respect for God, right? Let's go to Numbers. Oh, let's go to Ezra first. Ezra, go back a book to Ezra. Verse maybe a lot of you are familiar with, speaking about Ezra. Chapter 7 again, Ezra, E-Z-R-A, Ezra. There you go. Chapter 7, verse 10. And he's another guy that went back to Jerusalem after the captivity to help in the rebuilding of the of Jerusalem and reestablishing of the country. And it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know, they had been in Babylon for 70-something years, right? 77 years they came back. And they didn't really remember a lot. And, you know, you go on and you read about Ezra and they set up and read the word and people were astounded at what it said. You know, but he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, the word of God, to seek it, to learn it, to have it in his heart, and to do it and to teach it. You know, he prepared his heart to do that. He had a mindset to do it. Okay, let's go to Numbers. We're doing a lot of Old Testament stuff here because there's great examples in the Old Testament of men that did these things, and they should be a encouragement to us, inspiration to us. Chapter 12 of Numbers, and we're going to start in verse 6, and this has to do with Moses. Verse 3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. What does that mean? It means he was willing to listen. Listen to what? God. You know, not Pharaoh, not psychologists or psychiatrists or magicians in those days or astronomers or philosophers, but he was willing to listen to God. He was meek above all men on the earth. Let's get down to verse 6. This is when Aaron and Miriam, you know, they got uppity and they thought they should, you know, have more upfront time, I guess. And God speaks to him and he says, and he said, hear now my words. This is God speaking to them in the tabernacle. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. So that's how God said he would speak to the prophets in those days. Then it says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Okay, what is he saying here? He said, okay, I speak to most prophets in visions and dreams. Prophet is what? One who speaks to God or for God, right? But he says, Moses is not so who is faithful in my house. He goes on. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not to dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, okay, to prophets, and Aaron was a prophet, and Miriam was a prophetess. He said, I speak to prophets in dreams and visions. But Moses, however, he's a different story. I speak to him face to face. You know, I get right up to him and I talk audibly to him. I let him know what's going on. He's even beyond you because he's faithful. He's the most faithful guy in all of Israel. And he's meek above all men on the face of the earth. Wow. Verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And so Miriam was healed, and then she had to, you know, do the stuff a leper had to do. She had to go outside the camp for 7 days and be cleansed and all that stuff. But, you know, Moses turned right around and prayed to God, and God listened to him and said, okay, I'll heal her, because he made intercession for her. But he was such a humble man, and he was such a faithful man. You know, that's why he got to that place. You know, the more faithful we are, the more blessed we're going to get. Okay, now I want you to go to Daniel, and this is really where we're going to hang for a while, because Daniel is a great example of faithfulness. Right after Ezekiel, Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 1, it pleased Darius. Darius was the Median. He was a Mede. And he took over after Belshazzar was slain. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He took over, and then the Medes came in and conquered Babylon, and Darius took over. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So, you know, this guy's pretty smart, and what's he doing? He's a good leader, and he's delegating power, right? He's delegating responsibility. Because for him to look over everything and every part of the empire is hard to do. And they don't have televisions and phones and computers. And so he sets up 100 princes like governors or whatever. And then over them, he sets up presidents over these guys. And then it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So then over the three presidents, of who Daniel was one, he was in charge. So he was in charge of the three presidents and the 100 princes, and he was over the whole realm. So he was like, you know, a big deal. Now, he's already been in Babylon, you know, a long time. He's not a young man anymore. And he's in his 70s or whatever, maybe 80s. And he's gone through how many changes in government, and yet he's still up there as one of the top guys. You know, pretty amazing. So verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. You know, they thought to unload him. They were jealous. They didn't like him, and they wanted to get rid of him. Sounds just like today. But they could find none occasion nor fault. You know, they tried to find an occasion concerning the kingdom, you know, his job, his responsibilities, what he did every day, you know, what he was supposed to carry out in government, how he was supposed to administer and govern. And they couldn't find anything wrong. They couldn't find any loopholes, any technicalities. And you can be sure that they looked under every rug and every mat and behind every door and talked to all kinds of people trying to find something to nail him to the wall. And they could find none occasion. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Why? He was faithful. He was faithful. How about that? He was faithful. He carried out his responsibilities. And the reason he was faithful is because he was faithful to God. That's the result. His faithfulness to God resulted in him being faithful in everything he did. So verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Well, you know that Daniel's faithful and he keeps the law of his God. Remember back in chapter 1, when he was brought into Babylon as a young child and Nebuchadnezzar took all these young men that were talented and smart and he put them in a special place and it's like an academy and they had a guy watch over them and he set wine and meat before them and Daniel said, no, I'm not eating that. That's against the law, you know, because he wouldn't eat things that were unclean. And so he ate, what does it say, water and pulse, whatever pulse is. And after so many days, whatever it was, the guy came to check on him and he was healthier and more blessed in every way and healthier and sharper than anybody else. Him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, because he was faithful to his God, even back as a child. So we know he was a faithful guy. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Okay, so now do you think these princes, and, you know, they said verse 5, and then they just went to the king, or did they sit down and have a discussion and a get together and brainstorm and say, how can we get this guy? You know, because they again probably examined his life concerning his God. And so they came to Darius and they flattered him and they said, King, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Okay, first off, they lied. Why? Because they said all the presidents, right? So that assumes that Daniel was in on this too, right? Except that he wasn't. That whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You know, so what are they telling Darius? We're going to make you god for a month. That's what they're saying. Most of you are too young. There used to be a show on television, Queen for a Day. You know, they'd pick some lady and they make her queen for a day and they give her all these gifts and they put a cloak on her and a crown and give her new washing machines and dishwashers and clothes. Yeah, they did that. You know, queen for a day, whoopee. And then, you know, she had to go back to her same old routine the next day and had to pay the taxes on all the stuff she got. But here they're saying, okay, you're going to be king, God for a month. They're making him a god for a month, which is not really out of the realm of understanding because ancient civilizations would deify their kings and their emperors many times, you know. They would deify them. They would think of them as gods. So they said, anybody that asks a petition of any god or man 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Once he signed the decree or a writing, it could not be changed. That was the law. You know, once he said it, that was it. You know, it's just like if we have an amendment to the Constitution, you have to go through all kinds of stuff to get it changed, right? It's not easy. Well, this was not only not easy, it was impossible. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew that the writing was signed. He found out about it. He knew what it said. What it say? If you ask a petition of any man or God for 30 days, you get thrown into the den of lions. He knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Wow. See, he knew what they did. And how did they find out how to get him? Well, they knew that he did that because why? He did it aforetime. I mean, he was faithful to doing it, you know. That was his routine every day, 3 times a day. At the window facing Jerusalem, he prayed to God. So what did he do? In spite of what they were going to do to him, he refused to give in on God and God's word and what he had committed himself to do for God. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Wow. Wasn't that hard, was it? Because they were watching him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. It means it can't be changed. Then answered they, because now they have it, right? Okay, we made the rule, you signed the law, we ask you again, O king, and you confirm that you signed it, it's a done deal. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, that damn Daniel, that lousy Hebrew, Jew, son of a gun, the guy that we hate, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, is just a lowly slave. Regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. And when the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver them. You know, what he realized, he got tricked. You know, he got tricked by his own ego. They knew what Daniel did. They were aware that he was faithful. They knew they could catch him at it. And they tricked the king into signing the decree so they could nail Daniel and throw him to the den of lions. Then these men assembled unto the king, said, O king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually will deliver thee. Okay? So the king was pretty impressed with Daniel's faithfulness, wasn't he? He says, the God that you serve continually, every day, in everything you do, because that's the way Daniel was. You know, the reason he was such a great president, the reason he was such a good ruler was why? He had an excellent spirit in him, right? He had the spirit of God upon him, and he was a faithful man to serve God, and so then he was a faithful man to serve the king. And the king liked that. So he said, you know, your God will deliver thee, Daniel, because you serve him continually. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early the next morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. That's kind of cool he says that, because what did those guys say? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And that's why. That's the only reason, right? That's it. You know, and you go, well, that was Daniel back in those days. But, you know, there are plenty of instances. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard of times when people have been miraculously saved by all kinds of stuff. You know, believers in places where, you know, everybody got hurt or damaged, and yet believers got spared. And God still is alive and well, isn't he? I should have thought of an example, because I know of some.
Well, the other day, that runner.
Remember? Oh, yeah, they had a guy on TV, and he was a runner, and he had on his apron, Jesus Saves. Did you see it? So he had a heart attack or something. I don't know. Something happened to him, and he collapsed in the middle of a race. And there was a guy on the sideline named Jesus. And he came over and gave him CPR and called 911 and saved the guy's life. So Jesus saved him.
It was cool, though, because the news, they made a big deal about that, you know, that that was a miracle.
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
They would acknowledge that.
Anyway. Then the king, verse 24, commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces ever they came in the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall ever be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, he just always prospered, you know, he just always did well. But he was faithful. You know, we always look at this, well, I've always looked at this chapter and said, well, he believed God, and he did, but he was faithful. It wasn't just, okay, he got caught in a situation, all of a sudden he's believing. He believed all the time. He was a believing man. He was a faithful man. He served God continually. He did his best for God in every way. He didn't just believe God when he's faced with a crisis. He believed God every single day, and he served his God. And when he was faced with a difficult situation, he didn't change what he did. He didn't quit believing God. And, you know, we learn that two of the ways that the devil gets people out of the Word of God and out of serving God is pleasure and pressure, right? Pleasure and pressure. You know, and both will take you out if you allow them to. And what keeps us going is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And the word followers is the word imitators. Mimetos in Greek, where we get the word mimic. Right? Well, God's a faithful God, isn't he? God's a reliable God. God's an honest and true God. And we are to imitate him. So one of the things we imitate is faithfulness. You know, we try to be as consistent and reliable as possible in our walk day by day, doing our best for God. What a great thing. And, you know, why does he want us to be faithful? So he can bless us, so he can help us, so he can prosper us. Look at how Daniel prospered. He prospered in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He prospered in the reign of Belshazzar. He prospered in the reign of Darius and then Cyrus. He just prospered every time. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 138. It says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." What is God's word? It is righteous. It means it's right, it's just, and it's very faithful. Means you can always rely on God's word. And to the best of our ability, we want people to rely on our word, what we say and what we do. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God is he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You know, he keeps his covenant. Did he keep his covenant with Israel, with Aaron, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Israel? Yeah, he did. Even though they didn't really deserve it a lot of times, did they? And he keeps his word with us, even though sometimes we don't deserve it, you know? Sometimes he just goes out of his way to bless us and do for us above and beyond what we can imagine. Just incredible. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And we know that Abraham believed God because God made promises to him. And when God told him to do stuff, he did it. And it took him 35 years maybe. I don't remember how, when he first spoke to Abraham, and then by the time he finally got a son, it was a long time, right? And he went through many different things and situations and circumstances, and God promised him the promised land, but he never really had a piece of that promised land other than he bought a place to bury his family when they died. And he got buried, and Sarah got buried, and then Jacob got buried there, Isaiah, you know, they all got buried in the same place. That's the only piece of property he owned in the promised land, because God said he would give it to him. See, he bought that piece of property. And that didn't come until later on when Israel came out of Egypt, that promise was fulfilled, but it was fulfilled. So it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith," or believing, "preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, how cool is it that, you know, Abraham had no clue to what God was really working for the most part. I mean, he did promise him that the Messiah would be of his bloodline, but he had no clue about how God was going to bless all the nations of the earth. And here we are, you know, because he was a faithful guy. He was so faithful and he just kept going forward. So then they which be of faith or believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. And because we believe, we're blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed. You know, he was faithful and we're to be faithful. And when we are faithful, we are just blessed beyond our imagination. And you know, when we are confronted with things and we have to deal with difficulties, that faithfulness will carry us through. It will help us because we've built that pattern of believing and that pattern of steadfastness and looking to God. And sometimes you can't even see it happening until, because sometimes you pray and you think, well, you know, God's got to do this for me, but he does it in a way that you never imagined. You know, he does it and then he does it, you know. You're looking for the blessing to come through the front door and it comes down the chimney or in the back door or something. You know, it's just, that's just God. He does things and he does things his way, not our way. But he just wants us to stay faithful. And when we stay faithful, you know, we don't have to be, you know, bent out of shape and worried and concerned because God's going to take care of us. And we just keep building and we have that mindset and we keep building it in our life every day. And as we do, we see great things happen. So God bless you. We'll pray and close. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how you show us how faithfulness is such a great key to our lives, that we just, you know, we just do the little things and the big things, and we do it with the right heart, the right mindset, and we just continue to work at building those habits in our lives, just like Daniel. Daniel never quit. He grew into an old man from the time he was a youth till he was very old, and he just never stopped believing you, God, and he never stopped seeing great things happen. He saw you work miracles and signs. He answered your prayers. He sent angels to you, to him, and you just did all that stuff for him. And we just thank you, God, that we can see that example. We can see that example of Moses and Abraham and even Stephen, as we study Acts. We're going to see that he was just a normal young guy, just faithful to do your word, and you did great things on his behalf. And we just thank you for that. In the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.